Hey everybody, welcome to Buzzing About Romance. I am Leah, and on this episode, I'm giving you a quick shot of romance, but author spotlight edition. And on this author spotlight, I am welcoming author Anne Penny. Welcome to the podcast.
Hello, thanks for having me.
Anne Penny is a contemporary romance author from Melbourne, Australia, a two-time finalist for the prestigious Romance Writers of Australia Romance Book of the Year Award. Anne Penny is quickly gaining recognition in the romance genre. She began writing as a young girl, where she often found herself lost in daydreams instead of completing schoolwork, a trait which she later connected to undiagnosed AUDHD. Writing became the only way she could calm her thoughts, and she's since written and published 5 books. Capturing Love, which we're going to talk about today, is the first book of her sizzling new series, Love, Beauty, and Soul. When Anne isn't writing, she enjoys having a laugh with her husband and 2 mischievous sons, cuddling her fur babies, and immersing herself in anything creative, from music to gardening to illustrating to refurbishing old furniture. She's always striving to craft something beautiful and unexpected while endeavoring to harness her hyperactive mind. Well, welcome.
You got through that well.
And there actually was a little bit more, but I just was like, okay, I'm going to stop talking now. So before we talk Capturing Love and like the start of this series, what drew you to romance as a writer?
I think probably because I had a really conservative upbringing, and probably led to like a lot of not feeling like there's no sort of sense of belonging, and probably led to a lot of trauma. And now I know that's related to my ADHD and autism diagnosis. But I think I read romance as an escape. With romance, you know, you're guaranteed that happy ending. So
yes,
you can have all the drama, but you know deep down it's going to work out in the end. And it's just a bit of escapism. And I think going into writing it is just wanted to offer people the same thing, that same escape. So, yeah.
So what made you decide to publish that first novel?
Well, it was probably the first one. Like, I actually wrote that before I was diagnosed, and I really sort of let myself loose on that one. Like, I sort of was really myself in the character. Like, I put a lot of myself into those characters in that book. And I don't know, there's something about it. And I'm just like, you know what? I'm just going to give this one a go. And
you're like, I want
it.
People to read this.
Yeah. And it was really surprising, because I'm like, because I put a lot of myself in it. So I felt quite vulnerable going into it. I'm like, yeah, oh, I think I'm a weirdo.
I don't know. There are some bonkers things out there. So yeah. I don't think anybody would think anything was weird.
Crazy stuff since. But people responded to it so well, and they felt so seen. They actually said that to me, like, oh, I feel actually seen as a human.
Yeah.
And it was really surprising. And then to get nominated for the award, I was like, oh, okay, maybe I'm onto something here.
Yeah. So how, when you're crafting your novels, do you plan them out, or are you a pantser?
I definitely have a plan. Okay. I go in with a plan. I've got like the big scenes in my head. I know the direction it's going in most of the time, but filling in those blanks, I don't know what's going to happen until I'm writing.
So you're kind of a mix of the two. Like, you have a starting, like big, like moments, and an ending, but it's what happens in the middle.
Well, even when I wrote Capturing Love, that was only supposed to be a standalone. So
really?
I actually planned the next two. Yeah, like suddenly, you know, my editor came back and said, oh, that Melanie character, like no one is that mean. Like, I actually made her a lot meaner than she was, and she was pretty bad.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, oh, all right, I'll tone her down a bit. And then all of a sudden my brain's given her a whole backstory, and then she's screaming at me to tell her story. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm not that bad. And then I had to write her story. And then Adam's, because I actually wanted to write Adam's next. She was louder, and then Adam's one came from that actually came from the COVID lockdown, because I didn't know back then if, and we were from Melbourne, we had the longest lockdown in the world, I think.
Yes, it was very long.
I didn't know if it was like here to stay. So I'm like, okay, I've got to figure out a storyline that's where it's like forced proximity, because they're not going to be allowed out. And I didn't know if it's was going to have to write it into all my books from that point on, but luckily I didn't, because that would be awful. And so it kind of just evolved from there. So it was kind of no real planning at that point. It was just kind of just all just naturally
That's
came.
kind of nice. I mean, I will say, like, in this book, we'll talk about it more, but like Melanie, she's a character. Like, she is somewhat toxic, but not at the same time. And you're like, which side of her is like the true side? So it's like, you don't know if she's kind of polarizing.
Oh, and when I wrote that second book, I was like, no one is going to want to read this. Like, no one's going to go, oh, Melanie's story. Yeah, I want that. Like, everyone will hate her.
I don't know.
But,
I personally like going into a book where it's a character that like an author has to work hard to make us like
yeah,
them.
I had to work hard with her. But definitely paid off. The people, you know, that did end up reading it were like, oh my God. And some of them, it's their favorite one. And I'm like, oh, okay. So it's nice.
So when you're writing, do you have a favorite trope that you like to write, or do you just kind of let the tropes fill in as you go?
Look, I'm definitely a fan of the enemies to lovers. It's definitely my favorite. Do like a second chance. So if I can combine those two, it's like the ultimate. But so I probably lean towards that in most of my books. But
What about
yeah.
reading? Do you have a favorite one to read?
Before I started writing, I was reading a lot of contemporary romance and definitely the enemies to lovers and second chance with written, maybe a bit of Rockstar in there and stuff. But since I've started writing, I actually can't really read contemporary romance now. So I'm more reading like paranormal and, you know, all that sort of stuff.
You're
So
honestly, you're not the only one. I talked to an author who she likes to read contemporary, but she only reads historical when she's actually writing, because she
yeah, it
said,
can really
like,
throw you
when she's in the
around.
contemporary world, if she's reading a book, some of that will like slide into the book that she's writing. She's like, and I don't want that to happen. So she only reads like outside of that subgenre when she's writing.
My brain fully consumes characters. Like if I'm reading them or even watching them on TV, but I watch a lot of
Sorry,
you there?
my internet has been real bonkers lately, and it has been kicking me out. So that was
Mine.
me.
Oh, okay. Because ours has been terrible lately as well.
Well,
What
maybe it's
about
both of us. Okay, so
know where
I don't know where we cut off. So we'll just move on to the
can.
next question.
Yeah.
As a romance author, do you find any challenges?
Probably more with my ADHD. That's where all the challenges come into it. Focus is not
Focus
my
is tough. I mean, I am not
Well,
diagnosed, but I'm pretty much there, so.
it's all or nothing. So, you know, if I'm not focused, I just cannot write. But if I'm focused, I hyper focused, you know, I then don't eat or go to the toilet. So I'm writing,
Yeah,
I'm
for
writing
day,
all
like
day
for
long.
hours. So, are there
Hours
any
and hours.
rituals that you have to help you focus?
I try to have a designated area, but my little area is in renovating at the moment. I don't know if you can see my little room here. It's on its way. But designated area, although I do like to write in parks and things like that. But my big thing is just starting with a cup of tea. Just grounding myself there.
No, I think that's great. Like I told you when we first got on, like this one of the things that I love is talking to all the different authors, because everybody has a different way of approaching their writing, and like everybody has a different ritual. Some have none, some have very set ones. Like, it's just fascinating to me how the end result is the same. Like, this novel is the end result, but how authors get to that end result is so different, and it's just so fast.
Yeah, I used to write at all times of the day, but I can't seem to do that now.
Yeah. So when you're writing, how do you level out the development of the story itself with the romantic relationship side of it?
I feel for me it comes quite naturally. Like I don't
Okay.
really put much thought into it. Like I'm not one to put any sort of filler scenes in. So anything in there is in there for a reason, and it's to drive those storylines. And it's not always, yeah, just like the romance storyline. Like I've got like I like a lot of sort of, healing and growth with those characters. So that's sort of the underlying current that's going with it. So but I feel like it just comes naturally. I don't really put much thought into it, to be
I
honest.
mean, that's not a bad thing.
Any.
So when you're, how do you approach creating the compelling story, but keeping your characters somewhat relatable? Or do you just kind of let that one flow too?
Yeah, it's a bit of flow, but I like to be very honest. I think readers can really tell when you're being honest when you're writing. Like I'm a big, write what you know girl, because I just know as a reader, if you read something that's set somewhere and you've been there and it's wrong, then you're like,
Oh yeah,
oh.
nothing. So there's an
I
author who it was a lake town and she kept calling it coastal. And like in the States, we don't call lakes coastal. And so Becky, my co-host, was like losing her mind and could not finish the book because she's like, a lake is not a coast. Like it is a lake.
Oh, and that's actually been funny, like having to write with the Australian English and American English and just making sure it kind of matches up, or I can find some middle ground because Josie is Australian. It's hard, like she wasn't going to say certain things a certain way, and Grayson would, and it was interesting having to figure that all out. And then even like some traditions that I'll be writing something about blowing out candles on a birthday cake, and in Australia if you cut the cake if it comes out dirty, you kiss the nearest person or something. And then I'm
Okay.
like, looked at it, I'm like, oh, this is not an American thing, I need to
No,
take this out.
I've never heard of that.
So I'm like, oh, I've got to check all these little things because people can be like, oh.
Well, but it also like, I mean, in the States, a lot of it, like, so my husband's family, which I thought it was super bonkers the first time I ever witnessed it, but so his mom's side has three different verses of like a happy birthday. So it's like you sing happy birthday and then there's two other sections that follow. And so anytime we would do like cake or ice cream for the kid, my kids in like the house, we're like, are we doing the like this version or the regular person version?
Think in Australia, I think we're the only ones that do the hip hip hooray at the end. I don't think you guys do.
Well, we
Unless one of
do.
your family versions has
Well,
that.
so my husband's family, we do like we hope you live to be 100 and then we have many more, and it's like honestly, singing happy birthday takes forever.
It's a hard song to sing, I think. Like I like to sing, but I can't do that one.
So let's talk Capturing Love. This is book one of the Love, Beauty, and Soul series. Now these are being re-released, correct?
Yeah, actually released Capturing Love, self-published it 7 years ago.
I didn't realize it was that old.
Yeah, I know. Like when I got republished, I had to read it again. I was like, oh, this is exciting. I had forgotten half the things in it.
So the re-release came out in November of 2025. Book one is Josie and Grayson's story. There's just something about these two. Like it's a little messy, but in the best way. But so they meet in Las Vegas, and the connection and the relationship that you can tell that they want to establish but can't because of situation. I loved them from page one, and I was like, oh man, like, how is this? But then as I read, I'm like, oh, she went there.
Yeah, that one took a lot of work, that book. I knew where it was going, but yeah, those little bits in between took a lot of work, really wind intertwine together just to make it work.
Well, there's
So I didn't
just.
want yeah I didn't want to put people off by any sort of cheating or anything. And, you know, a lot of people have, you know, different ideas on what cheating is and whether what happened in Las Vegas was cheating. Everyone has their own opinion on that. And I know people can be very sensitive about
they,
it.
Yeah, they can be.
That's okay. Everyone has their own.
But it's one of those things, the connection that they have and the fact that they do have to part ways. Like, we find out early in the book that Grayson is engaged. There are things that's surround that you have, like, you need to read so you can find all those things out. And after, like, that, like, separation, like, they truly never thought they would see each other again, but lo and behold, they do. Because Grayson's family owns, like, a media company, and they have bought the magazine that Josie works at as a photographer. And it just, he's this juxtaposition of a character, though, because when we first meet him, he's so sweet and kind and, like, just doing and saying all the right things. But then, like, when he's in the office, like, she even says, like, this is not the person that I met. So he's like this, trying to meld his two sides into one is a big part of his journey.
Yeah, being completely sort of controlled by, you know, wanting to impress his dad. And yeah, it's a hard one because I knew everyone's going to hate him.
I don't want to say we just really dislike a lot of the choices that he made, because he made some really poor choices.
Actually, been interesting. Like, I read a few reviews moving on, like, through the books and noticing, because, like, there'll be people in the first book going, oh, Grayson just was infuriating and this and that. And as they've gone through the books, they're like, oh, I get it now. Like, see?
Well,
those reasons.
Well, and that's the thing. Like, his family has this idea of who he is, who he should be, how things should be. Well, I mean, his parents, not his grandfather, because I really enjoyed the grandfather when he was on page. But so he's kind of cycling, because he's like, he wants to be a good son and do what's right and all these things. But then at the same time, he's like, I want to be happy.
Yeah.
But there's no happy medium for him in that sense.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then we have Adam, his brother,
oh, I love Adam.
Who is book three. And Adam is, he is something, that's for sure.
I could not wait to write his story. I'm just like, oh, I'm going to do a doozy on him.
Well, because he comes across as this character that just has not a care in the world, like, lives just like he's work focused, but then his personal life is just whatever he wants it to be. And I have a feeling that his story is knocks him on the seat of his pants and then some.
Yeah. That was probably my favorite to write, that one.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
And I will say, we have Lucy the dog.
Oh, Lucy.
Who is a boy, short for Lucifer, and is a little bit of a Lucifer. Yeah. So Becky has a puppy named Stanley. Stanley is a, I can't even think of what he is. He's a big white dog. He's adorable.
Yeah.
Oh, he's a Great Pyrenees. So,
oh, beautiful.
So they have Ollie, who is also a peer, and then they have Stanley. Stanley is such a naughty boy. Like, I was talking to her today, and he went running, like, across. She's like, Stanley, you cannot eat the chalkboard. And I'm like, oh, my goodness, the things that you say.
Sounds like my dog. I've got a French bulldog, so, yeah.
Well,
I don't actually, I don't even think that's a dog. I think it's an alien. But
see, I have an Aussie collie, and he is delightful. Like,
oh, beautiful.
He's very smelly right now, because I think
we call a real dog.
I mean, I think he rolled in something in the yard, but it's so cold, and he's just such a big fluff ball of fur. But like, Becky tells me all these tales of Stanley and Ollie. I'm like, oh, Link doesn't do anything like that.
Yeah.
So, oh, excuse me. So in the book, we get Josie's point of view for almost all of the book. And I will say, I'm not always a fan of that, but I think it worked in this book. But was it a conscious decision to do it in just Josie's point of view?
Well, to be honest, because it's only the second book I've ever written in my life. And I didn't even sort of, I think the sort of the dual point of views was just sort of coming in.
Mm-hmm.
fashion. And I didn't even know that was really a thing. And I read a book once that just had the epilogue in the mail and went, oh, that's so clever. I want to do that one day. And like after I released it, then suddenly all these dual point of views. I'm like, oh, that's really clever. Oh, I kind of wish I had done that. And but I sort of thought, especially because I was really just learning, and that whole write what you know, I don't know what it's like to be a billionaire dude. Like,
yeah, this is true.
Be in his head. Like, is he just thinking about sport? I don't know.
Is he thinking about sports? I mean, anything is possible. Or he could just be thinking, like, I'm a dumbass. I'm a dumbass. But yeah. How am I going to fix this?
Yeah. But I kind of like just the female side because you kind of don't know. Like, she doesn't know. So you kind of feel what she's feeling. Mm-hmm. If you knew what he's doing, then you obviously go, oh, you know, he's going to turn things around and you know, save the day. But
and that's why I think it worked in this story the way that it plays out, because there are so many little pieces at work that it's like we all find out at the same time.
Yeah, and I kind of like sort of living vicariously through that character and just feeling what she's feeling, because if you know what he's doing, then it kind of loses that a little bit.
Yeah, I can definitely. Yeah, it definitely would have a different feel to the story had we gotten more of Grayson. Yeah. But Josie is one of those characters. So like her parents passed away and she was from Australia and she moved to the States. She's lived here for 6 years and she is kind of an island. Like she has Amy and like Reed is her neighbor and like they're friendly and things. But Grayson really like he leveled her out in a way.
Yeah.
But then he did what he did. But but she was one of those characters where she just was really trying to find her place. I mean, it's been a while, but like she's been really like she's just kind of floating through life in a sense.
Yeah, and she just really wants to make it on her own and not rely on anyone. And you know, suddenly someone's in the picture that has a lot of money and you know can rule the world. And
and I mean, it's definitely an up and down, a back and forth. There's a lot of hurt, there's a lot of love, there's a little bit of everything in this story.
Yeah, I do like having everything in there.
So what's next for you?
I'm a bit of a standpoint at the moment because I've been writing a book for a few years now. I've been in a bit of a burnout with the ADHD and autism and diagnosis, and my kids are the same. So I've been dealing with a lot of that. So there's a bit of a burnout and I haven't been writing much, but I do have this story that I want to tell.
Yeah.
And it's quite emotional and it's, there's a bit of sort of like undertones of domestic violence. Like she's come from an abusive background.
Okay.
And I actually have a good friend that's sort of experiencing it at the moment. And I feel like it's too close to home and I can't really write it down because, you know, it's not really always a happy ending for, you know, people. So I'm actually thinking about doing a little detour and writing possibly a trilogy that actually started writing when I was 15. So
oh, really?
I kind of just want to bring that one to life. It's been sitting there for so long in a little diary thing. I'm like, you know what, I should bring that one to life, so maybe I'll do that.
So lots of possibilities of things coming.
Yeah, like I've got, you know, 10-15 books in my brain just lining up.
You just have to like sort through. It's almost like Tetris. Like
I always say, it's what characters are screaming the loudest. And we need to shut them up, so I need to write them.
So you're one of those authors who like the characters speak to you.
Oh yeah.
Okay.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Because we have a couple that we've talked to where it's like this one was just screaming at me and I really had to write this book and then they just stopped talking and it was like glorious.
Like I said, I did not want to write Melanie's story and she made me.
Well, and Melanie's one of those character arcs where like she's kind of the villain but not the villain at the same time, and it's like you want to see her redemption arc.
Yeah.
You want to know
We
why.
really do love her in the end.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for joining me on this author spotlight. I appreciate you taking your time out of your day.
Oh, this is great. I like
And
doing these.
then, well, I love doing these as well, and it's one of those things where it makes my heart happy getting to talk to authors, so.
Yeah,
All right, and
that's good.
until next time, happy reading, everybody.
Find us on Instagram at Buzzing About Romance or on Twitter at Buzzing Romance. If you like the podcast, please leave a review. If you'd like to support us directly, join the Bookcase and Coffee Patreon and receive exclusive content only available to Patreon members. Check out bookcaseandcoffee.com for our on-the-shelf show notes.